If you're wondering why we didn't get this done until Saturday, because we usually try and do it Thursday or Friday, because this is take four. We've been getting halfway through, a third of the way through, three quarters of the way through, and the power goes out, and everything's gone. So we have made it through most of this. So take four, for God's sakes. I mean, yesterday we got so frustrated we just gave up. We had two tries, didn't make either one. The store got a little busy, so we had to start over again. And we said, well, we'll get it in the morning. We get almost halfway through it today, and the power goes out again. I am so thrilled.
Yes.
I am happy, happy, happy. I like doing the report, but the fourth freaking time. Oh, my goodness.
I feel like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Yeah. Rise and shine, campers.
Right.
So, anyway, Robert and I are feeding our addictions with Mountain Dew and nicotine and caffeine and nicotine. And trying to say, it's a calm world. It's a happy world. Hello, won't you be my neighbor?
Right.
Yes, I'm so ready. All right. The Peace River. Robert, do you think there's anything?
No. Let's make it quick.
No, nothing there. No, nothing there. All right.
There is juvenile tarpon.
Yeah, there's some tarpon. Yeah, Robert's like, there's tarpon up there, dude. I've been saying that for 2 days. All right.
It's so hard to get a report last week, let alone doing this again. It's like, wow. It's almost mind-numbing.
Oh, man. I got to tell you, boys and girls. Oh, I'm starting to get a headache again. Oh,
that's why I had to take that ibuprofen earlier.
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, anyway, yes. Now, no, I'm good. I don't. I try not to take any of that stuff until it gets to where I'm starting to lose my vision. Otherwise,
That's where I was at, so I was like, okay, taking it.
All right. Up on the Peace River. Now, we're talking up by 761. I don't have that on here, and I don't have the water treatment plant on here. Note to self. Let me pull up my notepad thing here. Do water treatment page. And 761. Okay. I will build pages for the water treatment plant and the 761 bridge. You guys know where we're talking about. I'll get on those today and get those pages built for you. I just had a thing from my server, the people who do host the website. There's 30, I forget, I don't remember, but there's thousands of files on our website, and they say it's endangering their server. Our site is too big.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
I'm like, deal with it. That's what you get paid for.
Right.
Sorry. You know, don't whine to me. If you didn't want me building a website on your server, you shouldn't take the money.
Right.
You took the money. Deal with it. So.
Seems fair enough.
Yeah. What? Okay. So, anyway. There's tarpon up by the water treatment plant. Now, if you're wondering where the water treatment plant is, if you go north from Harbor Heights, stay on the right fork as you go past, or left fork, rather. You're going to go up. You'll see it forks to the right and to the left. Go to left fork. Follow that up when you get to the T, which is where, if you went to the right, you go to Liverpool. If you go to the left, you'll follow around, come past the Navigator. You'll go around past the Riverside Campground. The river makes a right-hand turn there. You go down about a quarter mile, and then it makes a nice U-shaped turn to the left. And as you go straight ahead, it's going to start a U-shaped turn to the right. And if you kept in that U, you would end up at the 761 bridge following the main channel of the river. If you went off the U and went straight, that's going to put you into the water treatment plant. Now, it's that U-turn right there is where you'll probably find the tarpon, right out in front of the bay with the water treatment plant in it, from there up to and around the 761 bridge. I'm not sure what those tarpon would eat up there, but I'm going to say I'm going to take a DOA terrorize up there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm going to do a DOA terrorize or like a probably a 3-inch storm. swim bait.
Yeah, but it would be a Terrorize or that second smallest, not the tiniest one, but the next one up, Storm paddle tail. The only reason being is I want something with a jig body and that, because you got to work it deep and then you got to work it shallow.
Right.
A regular lure isn't going to get it.
No.
If you had one of those tiny tiny traps, the little crappie ones,
oh yeah,
that might work up there. But other than that, I can't see anything else working up there. But I'm going to go back to DOA Terrorize, and I won't argue the Storm paddle tail. Now that's going to move us down to I-75 and that area right around there, sponsored by Ponger K's Grady Funeral Home and Cremation Services. Nice folks. Give them a call when you have those. You know, we're so lucky. We're in the toy store business.
Right.
This is a giant toy store. We get people when they're going fishing. They're happy. They're relaxing. They're going good. I admire people who can do like funeral homes, where, because you're seeing people at their absolute worst. That's the worst time to be there. And I mean, they try and do a good job. They've got all the stuff, caskets and urns and all that kind of stuff, so make it easier on you. But still, pick that job.
New.
Wow. You know, okay, so anyway, Ponger, Case, Grady, nice folks out there. There is some tarpon up here around the I-75 bridge. Again, hard to get them to hit. You're going to see them more than you're going to get them to hit. But on the bottom, down around the pilings, the bumpers, some of that stuff, there is some black drum up around there. Going down to the 41 bridge, redfish are more at the north end of the bridge, and there is some snook at the south end. And you can see tarpon rolling from Lashley Pier quite often. What are you going to do to get them hit, Robert?
I'm going to try the same thing. I'm going to try those small paddle tails, the Terrorize. Maybe a rattle trap. I'm going to just experiment with everything, including the kitchen sink.
And what's your odds of success versus your odds of...
A lot more in the
Yeah, a lot more on the side.
The other thing I would actually probably try would be freshwater shiners.
That's a good idea.
That's something I would actually try, because they work...
Under a bobber.
Yep.
Yeah, about 5 foot under a bobber. Don't try and cast it. Just drop it down and let the current take it away.
Right.
That's a very good idea.
That would be my objective there, probably.
See, the fourth time was a charm. We find you hit on something that might actually work.
Might.
That was actually a very good one. Good going, Robert. The funny part,
it's been there and just haven't even thought of it, because we sent Lil there last night, and she came in to pick up half a dozen shiners to go down there and try it.
Mm.
Didn't hear back from her, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
But I would definitely try that, because, I mean, that's one of my favorite snook baits in opening snook season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to go to El Jobin all the time when I was a teenager, and I'd come in here and buy half a dozen or a dozen shiners and go down there, catch the one or two snook, be done. See ya.
All right. Bayshore Pier, sponsored by the wonderful folks over at Centennial Bank. Go in there, ask for Katie, and be prepared to chat for a bit, but you'll enjoy it.
It's all a very, very positive effect there, without a doubt.
Super positive people. Unlike what they're sponsoring Bayshore Pier, because Bayshore Pier is another place, if you really want to catch a tarpon, don't go there.
Yeah, if you want to look at them.
If you want to look at tarpon, head over to Bayshore Pier. They're just there for... Are you kidding me? Yeah. And once you've thrown everything you can possibly think of, maybe try Robert's shiner idea, but I doubt if that'll even work.
Right.
Now, there is some small bull sharks over there. They're definitely undersized, not big enough to keep, but they're a lot of fun to play with. And there is some possibility of a snook or a possible redfish along the shoreline. But basically, it's about the tarpon there. Now, getting up into the Port Charlotte Canal system, Wobbert, what kind of waskaway fish do we have in the Port Charlotte Canal system?
Same thing going on. A lot of juvenile tarpon all over the place. There has been some snook, but most of them are scattered over towards the beach complex side, like Manchester Waterway.
The Ackerman.
Manchester. Mm-hmm. I've heard of some small, like good eating size black drum being caught in there. The occasional jacks coming through here and there. But overall, it's been a little on the quiet side.
All right. Now, Port Charlotte Canals, that's sponsored by Ray Smith Excavating. If your yard flooded out, you need it reshaped, give Ray a call. If you're going to build a housing development and you need everything to be right the first time, give Ray Smith a call. When it comes to dirt and excavating, he is the man. The guy. It's Ray Smith Excavating. Okay. Let's see. We're going out to the Mack River and the Elgin Pier, sponsored by Action Appliance. And on one of the previous shows, I was talking about, I want to make an apartment after the storm room, and I'm going to go up there and see if they can help me find some little appliances. You know, tiny stove, gas, they'll work off the grill bottles.
A propane tank.
Yeah, off a propane tank. And a gas electric refrigerator that'll run on propane or 12 volt or 110, a multi-choice refrigerator. I was just thinking, you know, that might be a cool thing to do. And then, like, take a room and strip all the drywall off and plywood it. Take and redhead the 2x4s to the floor. The bathroom would be the best place. You just can't make an apartment out of a bathroom.
Right.
But I think if I was going to do this, I would strip all the drywall out of the bathroom and redhead lag the 2x4s on the bottom down, strap all the 2x4s together with straps and screws, and then screw half-inch, three-quarter-inch plywood to everything. Screw it all in place. Make it into a solid piece. Put an exterior door on it, not an interior door, an exterior door, so it's solid. And turn that bathroom into a bunker. It'd be nice if I had a bathroom big enough where I could put a stove, a little tiny stove and a refrigerator in there and have, you know, they'd have the sink and the bathroom and the shower and everything. It'd all be a little apartment there. That would be the ultimate storm room.
There's a way to do that because your bathroom's about the size of most New York City apartments.
Well, our master bathroom, but the other bathroom isn't.
Yeah.
And
but still,
she's got her stuff all the way across. No, you ain't getting part of her counter. There ain't no way you're taking part of her counter.
It sounded good in theory.
Yeah.
It's like you watch all these TV shows where they show these people living in these huge places in New York. It's like, really? That's not real.
No.
Especially like NYPD Blue. Really? On a police budget? Really?
Yeah.
You live in that? I don't think so.
So anyway, we're at Action Appliance and the Myakka River Elgin Pier. What are we talking about here?
Up in the Myakka, just on the other side of Elgin, heading north, basically, up the river towards 41, there has been some actual better-sized tarpon up in there. Carl's buddy was up there fishing, looking for some redfish and stuff, and he saw quite a few tarpon in the 3 to 4 feet of water, cruising back and forth, popping on a couple things, but he said they were all definitely better sized fish, which is good. Be fun to catch them in that shallow water, because boy, I'll bet you they put on an aerial show. I would love to
hook them right up there.
I'd love to hook like an 80 or 100 pound fish in that kind of shallow water.
Yeah, you hook them up in 5-6 feet of water where they're going skyrocketing the whole time. Yeah. Shortens the fight up a lot too.
Right.
You had one that never did jump and it took hours to land. Yeah. So.
That hurt, but that was fun. It was good stuff. And then right there off of the Elgin Pier itself, still quite a few juvenile tarpon rolling around that. Handful of small snook. A couple guys have been hooking small snapper, but I kind of believe that they're more Mayan cichlids than anything else, just because they're catching more towards the shallower ends. And that's kind of usually a giveaway for those things.
Yeah, the Mayan cichlids are much more likely to be there. So in the rest of the Myakka River area, Cadillac Point, Tippecanoe Bay, have you heard anything up by Northport in the Myakka River?
No.
No, I haven't either. There's probably some tarpon up there, but I'm not sure.
I heard some stuff about the spill dam just before the storm, but I haven't heard anything since then.
How about, the cutoff has some small redfish in it.
Yeah, mostly small redfish, a few small snook, but overall relatively quiet. But that's starting to get better with the results of the river flow starting to go down each day a little bit more and more. I think we're going to see some more fish start moving around and stacking up in that area. May even start to see some pompano on the outside of Hog Island here any day now.
You think so with all this fresh water?
Any day.
but not necessarily right away.
Okay, if it's falling about a foot a day, let's say 3/4 of a foot a day, it's still got to go down, let's see, 14. It's got to go down 10 feet. So you're talking 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks before it cleared up enough, I think, where the pompano would be in there.
Yeah, I guess
we'll
so.
We'll see. We'll see. Okay.
That might have been a reach.
Yeah, that was sponsored by Murdoch Tire, by the way. Jim up there, amazing guy. It's a great place. Murdoch Tire and Automotive, 766-TIRE, T-I-R-E. That's the way I remember the thing. It's a anonymgram thing, whatever it is. One of those things where one thing sounds like another, but it's really something else. Okay, so anyway, South Gulf Cove Canals, and we have a report.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. Oh, my God.
The gentleman was actually locked in there for a few days because of the power outage. The locks were shut down. So he was trolling around through the main, what I would consider, I guess, the rim canal. And then some of the small side canals. And he's getting some tarpon, whole lot of snook of assorted sizes. And he's catching them on... gold spoons, twitch sticks, and rattle traps were the three primary things that he was trolling. He's seeing some Mayan cichlids around his dock. His neighbor caught a bass also, so good mixed gamut of things coming through there. The only thing he didn't say anything about was redfish, which, surprising, not surprising. Yeah, those seem to go in little weird spurts back in there, but... He said he's going to try to contact us every week and let us know how the fishing is in there because he always loves to fish as he's coming and going out of the into the river.
I hit one thing and it highlighted the whole thing. I thought it was all going to go away again. All right.
Don't kill me.
Don't. All right. I'm putting the date in on the west wall. I'm going up to the top and I just click save so it can't go anywhere. Till right now, it's all there. Luigi's is sponsoring the West Wall, and the West Wall has got some pretty good fishing on it. And I got to tell you, we got, you know, after the hurricane, we're doing the cleanup and all the rest of this. Luigi's actually got power very early and opened up, and Terry and I went there for dinner. I had the Small Works pizza, thin crust, you know, trying to cut down on the carbs. And it was wonderful just to go in, and I don't mind the whole camping aspect after the storm with no power, you know, cooking on the grill. And I got one of these little things I could pour coffee, you know, a little coffee filter sits on a cup, and I just put the coffee in and poured the hot water over it, heating on the grill. And so it wasn't bad. I bought my favorite creamer in the powdered version. So I was just using the powdered creamer, and I had all my stuff there. I was golden. I knew what I wanted for after the hurricane. The simple things I enjoy. You don't, people buy too much stuff for hurricane. They buy like they're going to, you know, they have to last a year, and which is almost impossible because if you take one person times 365 days, I don't know what 365 times 2 is. Let me see. I got a calculator right here. Okay, if you take... 365 times 2, that's 730 meals if you eat twice a day to get through a year.
Yeah.
So that's 1,460 for two people.
Yes.
That's a lot of food. So.
And never mind the water.
Yeah. So you basically figure on two little meals a day for a month. That's what I always figure after a hurricane. I want a month's worth of stuff. So I had a few cans of coffee. I had bunch of water, and I'm a creamer. Now that and a little nicotine, I'm good for a week right there. I mean, I can last. I don't have to eat for a day, two, 3 days. I'm fine not eating for 2 days. I don't know why, but I can. It just doesn't bother me a bit. But most people tend to want to eat more than that. Now I saw a guy come up freaked out because he was going in the store. He couldn't buy water. Now this was a big fella, and I know this is politically incorrect, but this guy was big. I swear to God, he hasn't drank anything but, you know, full-on Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, big gulps for the last 20 years, and he was freaked out he couldn't get water.
Right.
I'm thinking, What, are you going on a diet for a hurricane? I mean, what is it about water? Gotta have water. Yeah. Well, bud, go down to Circle K, fill up about 14 big gulps. I'm sure you'll be happier.
Right.
You know, liquid. You saw me buy my hurricane supplies. I like Diet Coke.
Right.
Actually, that new Coke Zero Sugar, I like that the best now. But I had a bunch of that. I had a little bit of water. Most of the water's from my coffee.
Right. The essential.
So, anyway, but it was wonderful sitting at Luigi's. I'm sorry I got sidetracked. You guys did, it was the same thing happening on the radio show this morning with you guys. Rambling off topic.
It's contagious.
Ridiculous stuff today. I don't know what the heck's going on. But
that's because this is take four.
Yeah, well, this is take four, yeah.
We got a little bit of reason today.
Yeah, my mind's wandering. All right, but anyway, on the west wall.
A lot of redfish scattered up and down it, according to Carl. He's had him out fishing himself and a couple buddies out pre-fishing for the tournament that's going on today. So they found fish scattered all up and down the whole thing. They also have gotten into quite a few small snook. And then there also has been some juvenile tarpon on the outer edge of the bar and on top of the bar. And then I've been hearing of a few trout as you work your way just a little bit down the south side, but they're scattered and assorted sizes. One guy catches a couple big ones, another guy catches a bunch of small ones, so a little mixed gamut of stuff.
It's funny, your hands, you go to type and you're thinking letters and it doesn't come out anything like what you thought you were typing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Mamingos. Okay. K-Pays, that takes us down to, sponsored by Finhorn Reels, the lethal. Still, if you take time, we've been selling them, the amount of reels we've been selling, and the returns on them, it's literally one of the most reliable reels we sell. The Finhorn Lethal spinning stuff. Now, some of the other reels may be as good, but gotta say, I am absolutely astounded by, still to this day. You know, I know of one for sure I've got back. I think you got one back.
Yeah.
Out of dozens and dozens dozens that we've sold.
At least.
What was the mark on your hand for?
You reminded me, because I remember seeing that the Finhorn 60 was out, and I had to go out to the warehouse and grab more.
We're out of Finhorn 60s again. Yep. Okay. All right.
I got sidetracked earlier, so that just reminded me. So I got that's my notepad as a Sharpie on the back of the hand.
That's cool. Yeah. All right. Cape Hayes,
I've heard of. Actually, just only a few redfish and snook on the shoreline there, going from Muddy Bay over to Turtle Bay. That's about the only activity I've heard of over there, unfortunately. And I'm sure there's some fish around there, but not going to make it up.
All right. Let's see what Penn's got to say about Bull Bay and Turtle Bay. You played with the new Conflict too?
Feels pretty nice.
I'm on the fence. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this because I played with the prototypes.
I'm not as impressed by the finished result compared to the prototype, but it feels nice. But the other one felt nice too.
I think they packed it too full of grease. That's my feeling in it. I'm going to take one, I'm going to pull it off, pull it apart, and get some of that grease out of there and see how they feel. I'm almost thinking the two that I played with felt tight, but it felt like they just wadded so much grease up in there that it's hard for the reel to spin.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I'm not saying that's true. I'm just saying...
Yeah, no, it's possible. I mean, I like the original one. Definitely felt better when you spun the handle. No question about that to me.
Now, this weight one...
Weight-wise, I like the weight of it, but... There's something odd about the feel to it. It's just kind of holding it when you spin the handle. It almost... put it bluntly, it almost feels kind of cheapish.
I didn't get that feeling. I thought it wasn't tight, but maybe those gears, because they're using machine cut gears then, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're using the same gears as the Clash, aren't they?
I believe so, and I think that there's something in there. Maybe they're a little rougher. Maybe they wanted it to last a little longer.
Right.
And sometimes with gears like that, you actually have to work it. It reminds me when we used to buy motors like snowmobiles and outboard motors. Even outboards nowadays, you have a break-in time.
Yeah.
You have to run it slow for so long in order to run it fast and let it be efficient. And I'm wondering if this reel is not going to have a break-in period where, like, for the first few months you use it, it's getting looser and better, and then after that you go from breaking it in and then start wearing it out, whereas most of the reels you buy, you start wearing it out the moment you buy it.
Sure.
You don't get a break-in time, and
kind of like the original Torx spinning.
Yeah, the original Torx, it could take you a year to get that reel to feel good.
Yeah.
Because you were breaking it in, getting everything smoothed out, and it took you a year just to be, before you could even start to wear it out, you had to get it to where it was good, and then you'd have that much time, and then twice that much time at perfect, and then slowly after that, they'd start to wear out.
Right.
And I'm wondering if that may be what's going to go on with this one, where it's going to get better and better as you use it. Now, mind you, somebody is paying for us to talk like this. What kind of mental midgets pay us to do commercials like this? Oh, it's wonderful, but I don't like it. You know, no, I'm on the fence with it, you know.
Yeah.
But we waited so long to get this reel in. Really, it was a long time.
Right.
And we've known it's coming for a year, and we played with the prototypes, and they were great.
Yeah.
And what's weird is there's no sizing match between Penn and Shimano and Daiwa and Akuma or any of these. I measured the reels literally with a ruler, and a 3000 Shimano is the same body size as the 2000 Penn. The body, taking measurements on them, and they're almost identical in size from literal measurements. And because the 3000 Penn weighs a lot more than the 3000 CI4, but the 2000 is right there with it. And if you take measurements of it, it's
the same size.
It's almost the same size and the same weight. Now, that was the thing that freaked me out, because when I went 3,000 to 3,000, the pen was a lot heavier. But I'm looking at him going, this pen is massive compared to the Shimano.
Right.
Literally massive. Now, the line capacity, if you're using 15-pound braid, is plenty on the 2,000. The drag is more than enough on the 2,000. It's just hard to get people to go by line capacity instead of size. For years, yeah. People bought it by the size instead of line capacity. So, well, that was rambling, but it was actually, we were trying to be informational rambling.
Right. No, that was actually pretty good stuff there.
But before we drop the topic, where do you think the Conflict 2 is going to go? Okay. Good. Good witch, sandwich, bad witch?
I'm going to go with sandwich at the moment. I'm kind of like split right there, teeter-tottering. I mean, I think longevity-wise, I think it's going to outlast a lot of the other reels in the lighter weight category, just knowing their track record for gears, you know, and how they hold up for the most part. So I'm going to stick with it.
Ever since they came out with the Battle 2, they've been pushing for durability.
Right.
Beyond anything else, durability, longevity, where you can buy the reel and have it longer than you want it to last.
Right.
All of a sudden, you're sitting there going, God, I'd love a new reel, but sucker won't go bad.
Yeah.
And that's what you're getting with the Battles and all the Clash and this, you know,
right.
Spinfishers and the what's the other one? The
Slammer.
I mean, these reels are going to last longer than you want them to.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, your grandkids would be going through the closet going, look at this, it still works.
Yeah.
Kind of like the old SS. People pull them out of closets, garbage cans, and they still work.
Yes, they do.
So, anyway, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, what's going on?
I can tell you more about Bull Bay than I can Turtle Bay. Bull Bay's got quite a few ladyfish scattered throughout the whole thing. Been some snook. around the fish shacks right at the entrance there, and in that deep trough going towards Widden, I guess, along the backside of, what is that, Keopalau?
What is the?
The Snook.
Oh,
in that deeper trough.
Yeah.
There has been quite a few redfish scattered throughout Bull Bay. And then there's been one small school of bigger bull reds that have been kind of cruising out in front between Bull Bay and Turtle Bay. I think it's that same school of redfish that usually goes behind the oyster bar there into Turtle Bay. But I haven't heard about those fish since before the storm, so I'm not sure. And I know a lot of guys have been up there pre-fishing inside Turtle Bay, but I haven't heard any reports, and I think it's just because tournament mentality being tight-lipped.
Yeah, the tournaments bring out, you know, don't talk, you know, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. I know that one guy saw a piece of broken-off dock that floated up inside Turtle Bay when he was up there running. When he said it was right up against the edge of the mangrove, so he was happy with that. And he said it was wedged in there pretty good, so he wasn't too concerned about it. But the one over on the west or the east side that he, we'll get to that, that he saw was a little sketchy.
Okay. Cape Hayes Reef.
I have not heard anything there, to be honest.
Yeah. The fishing club, we will be getting back to the fishing club on regularly scheduled. We were not able to do it last month as we were boarding windows and getting everything done, and nobody even called to ask. I think we had three phone calls.
Right.
Are we doing the fishing club?
Yeah.
But there was just no way to do that. So next month we'll be on the regular schedule again. Gasparilla Salmon and the Tailing Flats, sponsored by Radio Waterline. Yes, your rock and roll radio rhythm rangers. Yes.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Boy, I got to tell you, these guys are right on the money when it comes to fishing. Yeah.
When they can talk about it.
Yeah, whenever they get around. Kind of like us, if they get around to talking about the fishing. So.
Yeah.
That is Josh Shallow of Captain Mike Myers and Robert, of course. And they're on Kix Country 92.9. If you click the Radio Waterline logo picture thing there, you can go back and listen to back episodes of their program, because it's really, really hard to find on the internet. You can listen to them live on 92.9 Kix Country every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. So, all right, what's going on in Gasparilla Sound Tailing Flats?
That actually, I've had a few good reports. Quite a few redfish scattered along the perimeters of all the islands and the main mangrove shoreline along Widden Creek and Catfish Creek. There's been quite a few snook of assorted sizes all around in those same vicinities. Some ladyfish and some trout scattered on the open part of the flat. My nephew went up in there yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And he went up into Widden just a little ways and saw some fish pushing, but couldn't get anything to hit.
You know, I'm thinking some of these fish people are seeing pushing are tilapia.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I have seen a school of tilapia go by the house, and I actually thought it was mullet at first, and because they were nose up pushing the water. And it turned out they weren't nose up. They were dorsal fin. And pushing the water in front of them, just like a little shake of mullet. And when I first saw them, I thought it was a mullet, and then I recognized they were tilapia. And I've been hearing schools of fish pushing around here and there, and I gotta tell you, I think some of these are tilapia, because they're good-sized tilapia all over the place right now.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't surprise me, given the amount of fresh water that we have out there. So, let's go down to the Placida Pier, Placida Trestle. What's going on over there?
Well, there's been a handful of guys doing some snook fishing there, mostly in the evening, trying to, you know, the bugs are pretty bad there from what the one guy was telling me. They're seeing a lot of snook, but having a hard time hooking into them. They're watching them chase the needlefish down there quite a bit with the guys that are hanging over some of the lights. And then during the daytime, a few guys are catching some mangrove snapper right there along the Placida Trestle. And also some gag grouper actually have been caught there. My nephew got some gag grouper there on Tuesday. He caught two legal fish. One was 24, one was 25 and a half. He kept one of them, brought it home to eat that night. He said he had a couple other fish that railed him, so he's assuming it was either small jewfish or more gags, but he was pretty happy catching them out of his little ginu.
Yeah. Well, whenever you can grouper fish out of a ginu, life ain't bad.
No, not at all.
That's not a bad way to go. Boy, I got a lot of this stuff to transfer over to historical pages. If you're ever wondering where all these reports go, we don't delete them. Like here, we're going to be doing Lemon Bay. And behind that, there's a little thing that says fishing history. When you click that, it takes you to all of the older reports. Now, it won't tell you what fish are there now, but you can look and see what month of the year historically are the best months. So if you're up north, you're coming down on vacation, use the fishing history pages to say, okay, we're going to be coming down around in, let's say, October. Look at what places we've had good reports on in October. Right. Because the fishing history pages are just like this, or they have the dates on them. So look for the October section and go, okay, well, this area historically has had pretty good fishing for October. And that's what those pages are for, is so if you're planning a trip and you want to come to Southwest Florida, look at the history page and say, okay, in October, you look at Bull Bay, you look at Mica Cutoff, and you can get an idea of what the fishing is like at that month.
Right.
Which places. That's why we're keeping those reports. Some of them go back a few years. Some of them are only back a few months, depending upon, you know, how I screwed it up.
All right. Still some incredible information. To be honest with you, I haven't gotten a single report. I haven't talked to our gentleman since the storm.
The heck did I just do?
Jumped all over the place.
Oh yeah. Talk about screwing it all up. Oh my god. I don't know if it's there or not. Hang on. 9:23, and we were in Lemon Bay. Let me get down to Lemon Bay and see if it's still there. Oh my god. Don't tell me we're gonna do take 5. Nope. Everything's looking good. Yeah, Placida Pier is there. Let's hit save just while we're at it for luck.
There you go.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Where's my cursor now? Uh-oh. All right. Yeah, something's going on here that I cannot figure out. Preview. All right. Hang on just a second. And the music you've been enjoying has been by Captain Josh. Yes, Captain Josh. Our musical effects, which brings us right to, I mean, on time with Custom Sight and Sound. They're in Venice. And good friends of the show, good friends of mine, go up and see them guys. And they are sponsoring the Englewood Fishing Pier, the Anger Pier. It's an angry Anger Pier. The Anger Pier.
I've met some of the folks from the old Anger family, and they always seem quite happy.
They seem like very nice folks. But the pier is angry.
The pier is angry.
The pier is angry. It's an Anger Pier. It's an Anger Pier. That's because what's going on? Are they catching fish and they're angry because they're not catching fish? Or is it an Anger Pier because they're... Oh, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing.
Well, if you get angry about snapper sandwiches, it's a good thing to be angry about because there's a lot of little snappers around there.
Okay. And also quite a few small snook being caught off of there in the evenings. I haven't heard of any big ones at all. I've heard of a couple small baby gags mixed in with those small snapper. So it's not gangbusters, but not bad.
Yeah, and defining small snapper here, we're talking about, you know, your average fish is between 8 and 11 inches. So a lot of those are keepers when you're in inshore waters. Only got to be 10 inches. Makes the perfect sandwich.
on a cracker, maybe.
Hey.
Hey.
Small ones are sweeter.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Who starts this garbage? Is it like, you know...
You touch the leader, it's catch.
Oh,
that guy.
That really wasn't what I wanted to do. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, if you touch the leader, you caught the fish. Yeah. Yeah, the same guy did that. But I swear, the only people who think little snook eat better than big snook are people who don't catch big snook.
I said snapper.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying the same kind of thing. Now, I will agree, snapper's one of the few fish I don't... Once they get up to 16 inches, to me, they get a little gamey.
Yeah. They're starting to get a little bit tougher. The texture changes once they get to a certain size.
I didn't know the texture, just the flavor on it, I wasn't as thrilled with. I think the only fish I prefer the smaller ones over the larger ones. Because like with grouper, even when we used to catch a 400-pound Goliath and eat those, and they would used to be legal to do sawfish and all these other ones, I always thought the big ones tasted better than the little ones. The meat was firmer. It is better.
Yeah. Well, we'll be discussing Goliaths on the Radio Waterline Show before terribly long. We've got that meeting coming up mid-October to discuss it here in town. So.
Oh, and that's a joke.
Hey, I'm not saying that it's not a joke. I'm just saying it gives us an opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, because they're going to put some kind of slot thing in, and we're not going to have the big ones. And, you know, I just, for once, I wish they would follow nature. Take the old and the weak first. Only the biggest ones. Figure out what the average biggest one is. Come, you know, 5 inches or 4 inches below that. And say that's what you can keep. Nothing under that.
If you really wanted to follow nature, wouldn't you take the babies? Mm-hmm. Take the juveniles? That's where all the death occurs, is in juveniles.
But the old ones grow old and die.
Eventually, sure.
Mm-hmm. They get old, sick, and weak. That's pretty much the way nature works. Trust me on this one. I can tell you from personal experience on this. All right. Gulf of Mexico, bottom fishing. What is American Fishing Wire? High Seas, the wonderful stuff, the toothproof stuff. It really is good stuff. I mean, amazing, 99% perfection. They have to be.
Yeah. Toothproof and the Nautible stuff. That's the only wire leader I ever use. Yeah. Why would I need anything else?
And their swivels and snaps and stuff. Just absolutely the most amazing stuff for the price. And even not for the price. I mean, I think the only ones that might be better would be some of the Sampos, the American-made ball-bearing swivels. They're expensive, but I have those till the paint comes off.
What are you, $6 or $8 a swivel, though?
Yeah. They're big bucks. Mm-hmm. But... I fish 99% American Fishing Wire now. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a couple of Sampos left, but I would probably say 99.5. So, anyway, back to American Fishing Wires. What is American Fishing Wire? AFW, High Seas Leader, the wonderful fluorocarbon stuff. What are they sponsoring in the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, reports have been a little sparse. I don't know if you noticed, but there was a hurricane, and a lot of people haven't gone back out since.
Really?
Talking about
no Chenango, man?
But they haven't, as of yet, at least they haven't come back in with
reports. Was it in the news?
A couple times. Twice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I saw it on Facebook, too.
Okay. Well, if it's on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know.
CNN covered it.
Yeah, well, then we know it didn't happen.
So guys have been going out. They've been going out mostly today, Saturday, which is what I was hearing from a lot of people. We're planning to go out Saturday and go sample with it. The guys that I did hear from were saying they were doing okay with snapper, but finding dark water a long ways out.
Okay, Robert?
That I'm rolling with the dark water going a long ways out, but there's guys finding Spanish mackerel, a few bonita, and a few small blue runners and jacks within 5 miles of shore. Just look for some birds. And that's where they're kind of finding them in pretty good numbers. A couple guys this past week have gone out a little farther offshore. One day in particular, they shouldn't have because it was like 5 to 7 footers all day. They got into some lane snapper, some okay mangrove snapper, and a couple gags, and they were 15, and the other guy went out 19 miles. So... And then I've heard of a couple cobia sightings, but nobody landing any. The one guy hooked his, and it went under the boat and broke him off on the motor. So there has been a little bit of stuff going out there, but unfortunately just people are just starting to get back into the normal routine factor now.
Yeah, there does seem to be quite a bit of bait out there also, but not real far out. Most of it, you know, within a relatively short shot of the beaches.
All right. Shield Rods and Reels is sponsoring the passes. And we have a pick. We can do Redfish, Captiva, Little Gasparilla. I'm taking Ponderosa off because we have that one on its own thing. And you got Stump Pass, Venice Jetties. Do we do Stump Pass Jetties now?
Not yet, because we haven't heard anything yet.
But I'm saying, would that be more Stump Pass than the Jetty, or would it just be still Stump Pass?
I'd still just call it Stump Pass. I mean, people are going to fish the jetties, but they're going to fish the pass, too. It's kind of like Venice Inlet. People fish the jetties, but they fish the outside part.
Okay. Shield Rods and Reels, and I have fished with mine. I have a 3000 on a solid carbon shield rod. I like them together. I really do. It's a nice feeling setup. Feels good. It works very well. It's got a good cast. I've got 832 suffix on it, 15-pound test, and I get a nice cast out of it. I didn't have any problem with knots or anything. Used it for most of the day and found it to be pretty darn good rod and reel. So got nothing iffy to say about it, except, you know, we've only been carrying them since last winter. We haven't had them for a full year, but so far no returns, but we've not sold many of them yet.
Right.
So, you know, jury's still out, but I can tell you, I used it in the combination together. I liked it. It kind of reminded me, it's not at all like a smoke rod and reel, but the thing was, when I fished a smoke rod and a smoke reel together, I liked it a lot. When I fished them separately with other brands, mixed them up, I didn't like it as much. I didn't think, you know, where, you know, I didn't see where the advantage was over buying other things to go with them. But with this one, again, I like them together. It's one of those things, they do belong together, the rod and reel. So, okay, I'm pretty happy with it. So, yeah, I'll give you my setup, Robert. You take it up behind the house and fish it. It actually feels pretty damn good.
Playing with it in here, it seems nice. I'd just be curious to cast it.
It felt it tip heavy in the store.
Yeah.
When I was holding it up, it felt tip heavy.
I would
heavy.
Agree with that. Noticeably tip heavy.
I saw you playing with it.
Yeah. It felt tip heavy in the store. I got it out fishing with it, and I didn't notice it a bit.
Okay.
In the actual using of the rod, I wasn't aware of the heavy tip on it. Playing with it in store, I felt like it was very tip heavy, and I'm fishing with it, and I didn't notice that. It's a weird thing, but I didn't notice how the tip-heavy stuff that I felt in the store. That's why a lot of times we sell stuff to people. We tell them, you know, use it once or twice. If you don't like it, bring it back and exchange it, because last best test. What's felt great in the store does not feel good on the water sometimes. What feels iffy or not good in the store may feel excellent out on the water. And the shield was one of those. I was very hesitant. Took me a while to do it. But when I finally got around to it and fished it, I was, wow, not bad.
Yeah, and it's nice to have that level of guarantee. You don't get that everywhere.
No, and it's because my life goes wrong so much. I mean, I find this stuff.
I thought I did this right, but I did it so wrong.
I did it so wrong. And I don't expect other people, their lives to be any better than mine. So the guarantees and the warranties and stuff that we do are because it goes bad for me so much that I just expect it'll happen to other people. So I want to compensate for that. Because if I'm paying $100 for a rod and I get it out and I don't like it, that's a horrible thing to get stuck with. Right. Just because you fished it once. You can bring it back in. We'll clean it up. We'll do that. But just, you know, leave all the plastic and everything together. And, you know, we'll take it back. You know, 6 months later, no.
It's not Rent-A-Center.
It's not a Rent-A-Center. But, you know, for as far as normal people, regular folks, no, we take care of that.
Well, I know Boca Grand Pass has had some snook in it. I stood on the beach and watched a guy catching them one after another on fly down there. As I was wading out into the water, I also had a freshwater apple snail come rolling past me on the bottom. And I picked up the shell, and it was alive. So that lets you know how fresh the water is that was running out of Boca Grande Pass
so
a couple nights ago.
So we probably put those gar there, too.
I'm sure that there are gar running through there, and armored catfish and the whole assortment.
So anything else in any of the passes?
In Boca and in Captiva, I've heard of a few gag grouper and a few snapper. And then in Boca, back to Boca again, there's been some tarpon from one day to the next. You know, I'm hearing of them today, and then nobody's seeing them the next day from the phosphate dock all the way out through the pass. So there's a little bit of mixed stuff out there, and it seems like the tide hasn't made much of a difference with the guys, because one guy I talked to that caught the gags in Captiva, he caught them on an incoming tide, but the other guy who caught them in Boca Grande, he was catching them on both tides.
Guy was asking me, he said he was fishing in Little Gasparilla Pass, and he says the incoming tide, half of the pass was beautiful, clear, green water coming in, and half of it was brown. And he said, where should he fish? In the clear water, the brown water, or right on the edge of the two? And I said, honestly, I'm going to try all three spots. Because normally I would say incoming tide, hit that clear water, you're going to do better. But this is not a year to be setting rules. I would try the clear water, the brown water, and the edge line of the two. Because I would have no idea this year where the fish would hit. Any ideas?
No, I mean, under normal situations at that, I would be fishing the edge of it, you know, right in between, because that's going to have the highest concentration of your predatory fish in the saltwater part, but the highest nutrients in that tannic part, so they're going to be boogieing in and out of there, attacking all the little main food sources.
And if you focus on the clear side, then that makes your lure more visible to whatever happens to be in that area. Those predators are going to be moving back and forth.
But the great thing about Gasparilla passes, man, I mean, at least it's small enough so you're not having to travel a large expanse to try to find those fish.
I would agree with you, except I've been hearing guys fishing the dark water, like a Little Gasparilla Pass, and finding some redfish and trout and stuff there, and nothing in the clear water or on the edge. But historically, I would agree with the two of you. I'd fish that edge. But believe it or not, I've actually heard better things out of the brown water. And this is virtually virtually unheard of in, you know.
Well, and like I said, under normal circumstances, I'd be fishing the edge of it. But like you said, this year's so screwy and weird with everything, I'm going to fish all of it.
And it's why you have to be experimental. You have to pick one to go with first. If that one doesn't work, don't stick with it. Try something else. You know, this is not a time to be pigheaded and say, I know what works. You maybe do, you maybe don't.
Yeah, this is the year where if you've got a rule book, put it in the drawer, bring it back out again another year. But for this year, just try anything.
Right.
Historically, I would agree with the two of you, except for, you know, what I've been hearing, and it goes against everything I know. So anyway, that was Shield Reel, sponsored by that. We did that. Okay. If you're going to go out walking the beach, and it could be anywhere. Now, is there any beach left in Minnesota?
Not much.
No, there's enough. There's enough out there.
There's enough that's fishable, without a doubt.
Could you actually lay down on it lengthways between the water and, you know, and actually still be on the beach and not have your feet in the water?
Well, not only that, but you could actually do it on two different beaches at Minnesota, because when you walk right in, at least there at Middle Beach, there's now a cut, kind of a tide pool, that's cut off a sandbar from the beach. So you can lay on the sandbar, which is high enough that it's out of the water, or you can lay on the beach proper.
Gotcha. All right. Well, if you were going to walk along the beaches somewhere, anywhere along the Gulf of Mexico shoreline, what would you expect, or would you expect to catch anything, and what would you do?
The other night went out to Boca, and we're fishing right there behind a South Beach restaurant, because the main park is closed.
It's open now.
Did they open it up?
Yeah.
Okay. When we were there the other day, it was closed still, but that's good to know. There was a couple people fishing right behind the restaurant there on the main beach, and they're catching snook. Me, personally, I couldn't catch a snook. We tried, but they were catching snook there. I've heard a couple people catching some snook and a couple of redfish up by Inglewood Beach, just walking along the beach, messing around. And up there towards Sharkies, fishing along the beach and the surf line there, they've been catching some snook. a couple of redfish and some bigger blue runners, which was kind of surprising. This guy had the picture of one that was, I don't know, I'd have to guess at like a 2 pound range. It was pretty darn big for a blue runner.
It's a chunky blue runner.
Yeah.
You could eat that.
Yeah, what else besides the blue runners?
Redfish and snook. Like, I had to do a triple take at it to zoom in on to see if there was any yellow on it, because it was like, that can't be a blue runner, really? Fair size.
It's a Florida Trevally.
Right.
We were up at Middle Beach the other night, and there was bait fish within a cast of shore, and there was lots of stuff going after it. We had lots of terns and pelicans diving on it, and you could see mackerel skyrocketing through it. They were a little bit farther out than you're probably able to cast easily, but if you're using something small and heavy and maybe putting a casting bubble on there, you might be able to reach them. In closer, there were fish driving bait right up onto the beach. Those were ladyfish, and there were some smaller snook mixed in, and I think I saw a couple of bluefish, but it's hard to tell. There were also lots and lots of whiting in areas where there wasn't a lot of bait. Most of those were small, but they were very numerous, like 8 to maybe 10 inch fish.
Wow. Okay.
A lot more life out there than I was expecting.
All right. Well, then let's go down. Anybody heard anything off of Sanibel, Ponderosa?
I honestly have not.
I heard they were finding lots of cool shells down there. So that's all I got.
Gotcha. All right. How about in the Caloosahatchee?
Well, the Caloosahatchee is a little bit mucked up right now. They started releasing water down through there. They're releasing something like 13 billion gallons a day right now out of Okeechobee. And a lot of that is really nasty looking stuff because they're back pumping off the fields.
They even brought in a bigger pump for that.
Yep. Yep.
I saw that.
So the level of the lake is still actually rising with the amount of stuff that they're back pumping off the fields. And where they back pump that to is pretty close to the outlet for the C-44 canal, a.k.a. the Caloosahatchee River. So I think the Caloosahatchee might be a little screwed in the short term. There were a lot of fish coming down it. I heard about a fairly good-sized fish kill with bass and cichlids and tilapia being washed down the river when they first started the pumping.
Well, you got the Kissimmee River and all that coming in at the north end of Okeechobee.
Yep.
All that coming in at flood stages.
Yep.
You've got them pumping the fields off of the sugar canes and the rice fields. And it's surprising how much rice they grow down there.
Yes.
It's staggering. You're going along and you just see massive rice fields.
And the stuff is so dirty, you know, on those fields. There's herbicides, there's pesticides, there's fertilizers, and a lot of stuff got flooded down there too. So there's petroleum and other chemicals that they use on the farms, and it's just a mess, and all that stuff is getting pumped into the lake.
And that's what we eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're used to eating it. We're just not used to drinking it or seeing it in the water.
Yeah. We're used to eating it. That's okay. All right, so let's go on to happier times. Matt Lachey, and it's such a happy name. Matt Lachey, make you want to go, yeah, che, bud.
My grandmother insisted it was pronounced Matt Lacka.
Matt Lacka?
Yeah, Matt Lacka.
All right, Matt Lacha.
Matt Lachey. Matt Lacka. Matt Lacha.
Matt Lacha, I could see. But
nope, Matt Lacka. Yeah.
I don't know how you cut.
Dude, it's grandma. I can't argue with grandma. I just said okay.
Yeah, you never argue with grandma. You just say, okay, grandma. All right. Anything going on in Matt Lachey?
Reports out of there have actually been pretty good. I've heard about some guys who have been finding some decent trout in there, and I don't know if those fish move north from the Caloosahatchee or if they move south from the Burnt Store area, but they've actually been finding some good fish there. And a handful of redfish scattered around the area, but also a couple of schools. I heard there was one working the Buzzard Bay area.
Yeah, and those fish were a little on the bigger side, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you'd find a slot fish in them.
Yeah.
More like that 32, 34 range.
Yeah, I heard of people chasing them, but I didn't hear of anyone landing them, but they all said that they were pretty big fish.
Yeah, you need to fish around the oyster bars, and you need to use a good-sized chunk of cut bait to bring them into you. Big old stanky hunk of mullet or something.
All right, that's going to take us over to Pine Island Sound, and Pine Island Sound is sponsored by Reaper Rods. I don't know, Josh, do you have a Reaper Rod?
I have 3 Reaper Rods currently.
3 Reaper Rods.
One lighter inshore, one heavier one that I use as a light offshore rod for like a pitch rod for cobia, that kind of stuff, and a tarpon rod, which I have unfortunately not been able to break in yet.
Okay. Robert, what's your take on Reaper?
I like the feel of them. I like how they cast, but I mean, most importantly, I just love the job that Tim does making them. I mean, he takes his time with every blank. I mean, follows the spline. I mean, pretty impressive.
And the thing is, the guy's number is on every rod. If you have a problem with your Reaper, you call Tim. You don't call some nameless, faceless, you know, and get, you know, go through press 1 for this, press 6 to speak Spanish, none of that stuff. It's, you call Tim, and if he doesn't answer, you leave him a message, and he calls you back. It gets taken care of.
Yeah. I agree. I like Reapers. He gave my wife one. She loves it. I have one. I might have two, but I know I have at least one. But I fish so many different rods. I don't... my favorite rod is so old. They don't make them anymore. And the reel's not made anymore. The rod's not made anymore. And the guides are falling off. I got to have... what's his name?
Daryl.
That's how you can tell you're an old man.
Yeah.
When they don't make your favorite rod anymore and it's falling apart.
Yep.
From too much love.
But
those Reapers are high on my list. And, you know, the gimmick on them is those microwave guides. And
I think I'm going to give it to Tim and have him microwave it.
There you go. I wonder how that'll work.
It is the lightest physical weight I've ever held on a fishing rod.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a Fluger reel on it. I swear to God. I love that reel. And they don't make them anymore, so I can't sell them.
But those microwaves, you know, I thought this is a ridiculous gimmick when I first saw them. This is silly. These tiny little eyes. Why? What's the point? And it's like, oh, no, they cast farther. Yeah, sure, right, they cast farther. So when Tim started making them, he said, no, they really do cast farther. And I said, well, all right, we'll see if it casts farther. So I started playing with it, and, yeah, I found I was actually casting about 5 to 10% farther than I do with the other rods.
It's not true. It's only true if they're done right. Most of the microwave guides do not perform as well as a $100 Penn Battalion or a $100 Star Stellar Light. I can outcast 99.5% of all the microwave guide rods I've ever seen with my $100 rods off the rack. And seriously, I mean, I've done it. Why you didn't see microwave rods in the store until Tim came out with them. He's the first one to ever beat the stuff that I take off the rack and put together as combos. Now, I'm not sold on the microwave system. I'm sold on how Tim puts together the microwave system. That's, right. I think, the difference. Anyway, let's go to Pine Island Sound.
Okay.
What do you got?
I don't have anything.
You don't have anything?
No, I have nothing.
I've got some scattered redfish and snook around most of the islands, especially around Captiva Rocks and up towards Patricio. But other than that, it's been very hit or miss. There has been some small bull sharks along the ICW and small in like that 3 to 4 foot range. And a couple guys have been seeing some tarpon, but nobody is targeting them that I have heard of.
I take that back. I do have tarpon. I heard about some tarpon being caught on live pinfish down around, not quite to St. James City, but getting close on that side. And some smaller tarpon in the canals also that they're seeing, and they're having a little bit of trouble catching. But the tarpon out in the sound itself on the southern half were eating pinfish under floats.
Were they sizable fish, or were they still the juvies?
Not the little juvies, but mid-sized fish, 40, 70 pounders.
It's all right. Those are a blast.
Before they get too huge to manage, but when they're not babies anymore.
Right. Still that really fun size. That's probably one of my more fun size to catch.
Yeah, because they're going to be more of a challenge than the little guys are, but they're a lot more acrobatic.
Yeah.
Than the big ones.
Yeah.
The only thing I know is I cannot spell Patricio. All right. Jug Creek Shoals. This is sponsored by JT Custom Pools. And JT's a good friend. Nice folks. If you need pool stuff, call them. Or if you want a pool, call them. I want a pool.
So call them.
I had a pool. I can't afford it right now. I got to fix my roof, and I got to do repairs to the bedroom and the bathroom, and all, you know, from the storm, I got all that storm damage.
As long as you're redoing the roof, do a rooftop pool.
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Really? You're going to give him ideas like that? Seriously?
That would be awesome.
You saw that light bulb like kick on. That was like a metal highlight.
Yeah. I mean, I've already got a widow's walk.
Exactly.
I mean, hey.
Right.
I could put it right over the front porch.
And if not a full pool, at least a hot tub.
No, I want a pool.
A pool would be better.
Yeah, I think I could just cut some of the trusses off, add a few support beams there. I got the foundation for it.
Yeah, I know a guy.
The house is like 2x6. It'll hold up that shallow end, and you can put the deeper end out over the porch.
Exactly.
I got plenty of room for the porch. Yeah. Rooftop. Okay.
I'm gonna throw you under the bus if Terry comes at me with this one. It's going to be you, Josh. It's all going to be you, I promise.
It's all on record. It's right here. So it wasn't you.
All right. Me. Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla.
I haven't heard anything, to be honest.
The last
there is a sunken shrimp boat right down there by Boquilla, and it's actually starting to break apart a little bit. I guess Josh, according to Josh, it was sunk just a few days before the storm, but the storm
definitely put
a hurting on it.
It was sunk several days, maybe even 10 days before the storm. It's been out there for a while, but it stayed during the hurricane, and the hurricane knocked it apart. So be careful.
Cool.
The last good fishing report that I had out there, though, was from a guy who likes to catch puffers and eat sea squab. And he said that he was catching all the puffers that he wanted, and he was eating good.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Sea squab, huh?
Sea squab.
Was it fugu?
Well, these are not fugu puffers.
Right.
You're unlikely to be poisoned by these puffers. I mean, I guess if you ate the skin and the gonads, then you might get a tingle, but don't eat those.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that was not anything. It was on my list to do. Let's go eat gonads off a puffer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never put that thought together.
The key with sea squab is that you make sure that you skin it fully. You don't want to eat the skin. The skin contains a small amount of tetrodotoxin, and tetrodotoxin can poison you. It's unlikely to cause death in the concentrations that we see in our species, but you should just go ahead and skin it all the way.
So don't eat the skin or the gonads.
Right, don't eat the skin, don't eat the gonads. It's not hard.
I really don't know. It's kind of like, for best results, squeeze toothpaste tube at the bottom.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going around and you're thinking, gee, what do I want to do today? I think I'm going to cook me up some puffer gonads. Yeah. Yep, that sounds like the thing to do.
Frank, the only way that we know you don't eat the gonads is that somebody at some point did. So that's how we found out.
God. Is this on? Okay. We're going to go on to Two Pines and Burnt Store. This is sponsored by Shimano. And Shimano, the CI4 is a good reel again, boys and girls. The Sienna is excellent. There's a couple other reels that I'm kind of looking at. I'm thinking about expanding our line of Shimano again this year. I don't know for sure if I'm going to do it, but I think I'm going to blow up the Shimano line, carry a bit more reels, see what Shimano's actually got their act together enough where I'm starting to get interested in some of the other reels. I'm not the only one I don't really care for is the Nasi. Other than that, they're really starting to put those reels together much better. They're smooth, and they're becoming strong again. They're actually putting some money back into them for what we're getting. And so I looked at a few of the rods. I actually think I'm going to go back and become more of a Shimano dealer again this year.
Really?
Yeah, this winter I think we're gonna have a fairly good selection of Shimano. We were talking about it, what was it, yesterday?
Yesterday.
And we're going to take down one of the t-shirt bins, and we're going to add a Shimano rack over there. Going to put that in. So that's the plan. So I got to tell you, I'm surprised Shimano's actually coming back. And it's followed just like every other brand has.
Sure, they all have their top and their bottom.
They hit their peak, and then they got to go crashing to the bottom and say, because they have these stupid meetings. I don't know what's up with corporate people. They're all idiots. They go to work for corporate, and they have these meetings, and they come up with these great ideas. Well, how do we make more money? Well, let's cheapen it up. Let's take some stuff out. Let's charge more. Gee, nobody's ever thought of that before.
They're all original ideas.
I mean, I'm sorry. Do like Penn does. Make a new reel and make the product good and make it last a long time.
Well, what Penn does now. But eventually, Penn is going to say, hey, how can we make more money? I know.
I don't think so, because we talk to them on a regular basis. It's going to be a while before they make that mistake.
Well, it'll be a while, but it'll still happen. Well, all the cycles come back around.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's probably true. I hope it's going to be a long time. I've never dealt with a company that I like better than Penn on the Shimano ad, but I am getting better. I'm actually, yeah, why would people pay me for this crap? Who pays me for this stuff? I mean, if you were a manufacturer, would you pay for this? Somebody is. Shimano is. They're paying me for this. But I'm going back into Shimano, boys and girls. I've been watching, looking at the reels each year. This last year, they've put some money back into the reels. So, again, a good product from Shimano. I would say if they keep this trend up, they're going to go back. They're going to go up neck and neck with some of the like Penn.
Okay, so we can now buy a CI4 and we can take it out to Burnt Store and we can do what?
That's what we don't know.
That's what you're supposed to be here for.
Okay, well, I know that there's a school of redfish around Burnt Store Marina on the flat just north of there. Guys have been telling me they're catching them while they're wade fishing and then having the boats blow them out, and then the boats leave and then they catch them wade fishing again. So they've been a little on the sketchy side.
They always are. That school gets beat up so bad down there.
Well, you think about the guys who are going after it. I mean, it's just random boaters coming out of Burnt Store. A lot of them have no idea what they're doing. They see that there's fish, and they drive right into them.
No, even the ones that have been doing it for 20 years that have that title in front of their name do it on a very regular basis down there.
It's both.
Yeah. Anything else around Burnt Store or Two Pines?
A lot of little chicken snook scattered south towards Two Pines along the mangroves down there. Heard of a couple bigger fish being caught in some of those deeper buckets that are underneath those mangrove shorelines, but mostly on the smaller side, and then a handful of trout down there too. The trout I have heard about were a little bit on the bigger side. They caught those actually using pinfish while they were trying to find snook and redfish. So it's not terrible at all.
Okay. And some reports of bull sharks cruising the bar.
All right. This is going to take us to the east side of the harbor. This is sponsored by Akuma. And another one's coming on good, putting some money into the reels, doing a nice job at it. They've got the Shadow Stalker, which when I do the random testing for people, finding their comfort rods, the Shadow Stalker's coming out as the rod more and more often with people. I think it's going to be the new Redbone, because Redbone changed the blank. They're having all kinds of internal financial problems. They may not be with us long. If you're looking to replace the Redbone you have at the house, give a really good look to the Akuma Shadow Stalker rods. That's about as close to that old Redbone as I think you're ever going to find. And if you're looking for a two-piece rod, they got it's a $60 or $70 two-piece. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Reflections.
Yeah, the beautiful two-piece rod. And if you're traveling, if you need a rod for your truck, instead of putting a one-piece rod in the bed of your truck, put a two-piece rod behind the seat. It's going to last longer. It's going to work. And I will show you how to put it together so it doesn't come apart when you cast. I'll show you the techniques to vacuum locking them together. It works great. They don't come apart until you want them to. And so Akuma's got some nice stuff, especially those rods. The Azor reels are good. The Samar's reels are good. But those rods are nice. The Shadow Stalker and the Reflections. Really good stuff.
I carry Reflections two-piece sometimes in the truck with me when I'm driving around Arcadian places if I want to whip it out and do a little bass fishing. Nice rod.
Yeah. Okay. So when you get ready to whip it out, get yourself an Akuma. All right. On the east side, what's going on over there?
Where was he going with that?
I don't know.
I wasn't going anywhere. That was a perfectly innocent statement.
Uh-huh.
That was, I have ulterior motives. Never. I don't have ulterior motives.
Never.
I don't have an ulterior. I couldn't find it. I looked up and down on me. I don't see an ulterior anywhere. Much less a motive. Ain't that smart?
Got to get a mirror and check the backside.
There.
Stand in front of two full length mirrors. Put them back to back.
There's redfish over there.
There's redfish in yonder flats. I know there is. I can smell them.
Mostly scattered all over the place. There's no particular area that's holding a better concentration of them. along with quite a few peanut snook. And then there's also been quite a bit of debris over there that has washed up. You know, I've heard of one full-size dock that is sitting halfway submerged in 3 feet of water just on the inside of the bar north of Two Tits. And then there's also a couple lawn chairs and other things scattered up and down that whole shoreline, both on the flat and just on the inside by the mangroves. So I'd say be very careful cruising along there. Other than that, I haven't heard a whole lot of anything else.
There's still a scattering of snook over there, too.
Yeah.
None of them are real sizable, but they're in there. You're going to catch them while you're red fishing. And I talked to a guy who was fishing way back in the back there, and he was pitching shrimp up underneath the bushes trying to catch whatever might happen to be there. And he was mostly catching sand bream.
That doesn't surprise me. Sand bream like that really super brackish water anyhow.
Yep.
I'm surprised I haven't been hearing more of that lately.
Well, I think it's because their habitat is so much larger right now that they're kind of spread out.
Yeah.
They usually kind of stay in that zone where it's lightly salted, but right now they can go anywhere they want.
And there's nothing better than a lightly salted sand bream. Actually, I like pepper more than salt, but a little salt on it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, just a touch of cayenne. Good fish.
Okay, I'll let you have that. I'm not going to do the cayenne. But Alligator Creek and Poacher's Cut is sponsored by Acline HR, and they do our payroll, our workman's comp, our HR, all that kind of stuff. Amazing group of folks to work with. As I've told you before, during the hurricane, I stopped on top of a hill where I had cell phone reception. The person at Acline was in Virginia. I was in North Georgia, and we did the payroll for Port Charlotte. So these are people who take their job seriously, and you know, come storm, hell or high water, they're going to get their job done. I'm very impressed.
And that's the kind of spread out infrastructure that you want to have, so when things go bad in one place, they're still okay in another one, you can still handle your business.
And all she did was take her computer from her house and took it up to her family's in Virginia, and she was working off of her stuff up there, connected to the internet, and shuffling monies and bank accounts, and
It's awesome. That's the same way I did waterline, from a Georgia hotel room.
Yep. So, you know, this is the kind of people you want handling your business, the ones who take it seriously as you do. So, Acline HR, give them a call. Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut area, what's going on?
All I've heard about is a lot of sightings of some juvenile tarpon. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet. You got anything up in there?
The same thing. Lots of those little tarpon, though. And everybody throwing everything at them and not getting much results out of it.
Right.
You know how those guys are.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're not fun. Once you hook one, they're a blast. But getting to that point is about as frustrating.
Now, I've heard allegations that some people are successful on fly.
Right.
But they're only allegations. I haven't seen the photos yet.
Most of those guys are more successful on a fly.
If I was going to do those on a fly, I would go right over here to the teasers that we use on the pompano jigs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fly I would use on them, because I've used them on canal tarpon before. And if I was going to take a shot at them, that's the fly I'd be using. And take those little teasers, that small hook, very simple, and, you know, following the KISS rule, keep it simple. Simple little, you know, teaser fly, and I'm going to bet that would work. If any fly would work, I think that would be the one that would go.
I would tend to agree with you. A lot of people get it, you know, they want to get a perfectly lifelike shrimp or crab and throw that at those fish. And, you know, if they're not eating a shrimp, what makes you think they're going to eat a shrimp fly? You know,
right.
Throw something little, something that looks like nothing in particular, but it's alive and small.
Yeah, bright colored. So, anyway, it's going to take us to Ponce de Leon Park and hey-o, Shenango! Yeah, go to Shenango Supply, get all your... I mean...
Is that their jingle? Do they have a thing like that, or is that just you?
That's me. I used to, back, 100 years ago when I was doing radio all the time, I had ads for Shenango, and I came up with, hi-o, Shenango! It was a...
And did they start using it for other things?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they did it. It was kind of a trademark for a long, long time.
I feel like it was just you.
But it was probably just me. But I liked it. But Shenango, it's got that Western feel, you know? It's like Shenango. It's the OK Corral, Gunfighter. And Rick, who owns Shenango, great people, go down and talk to him or any of the guys, Greg or any of the people. I bought my lawnmower there, got my pressure cleaner there. My buddy bought one at the big box store up in Murdoch, and I bought one within $10 of the same price. His lasted a year and a half. 3 years later, mine still works like the day I bought it, and it was a smaller, more compact unit, same pressure cleaner. I've been using it steady ever since. It starts a couple of pulls and pops right off and does its job, and it works. And I don't really recognize the brand, although I'm starting to see that brand around more now. But leave it up to Rick to find stuff that he can sell for the same price as the big, you know, commercial, you know, go through the whole, the big places there, mm-hmm. you know. And he gets different brands, but they work better. You're not paying for the name, you're paying for the product. I can't say enough good about the stuff I bought. Morris bought the same mower as I have, and he went from almost a four-hour cut down to a little over an hour, between an hour and a half, cutting his grass.
That's a pretty massive difference.
Massive difference. His stuff, it works. And it wasn't any more expensive than name brand stuff, because even I chickened out, bought some name brand stuff. I didn't want to buy the stuff Rick had, and I thought, and I paid for it. Now I just go to Rick's and say, what do you got? This is what I need. What do you got? I don't even bother go to Schneider. Okay. Sorry about that, boys and girls. Rambling.
Oh, that's all right.
Ponce de Leon Park. What do we got going on?
I've heard about a better concentration of snook stacked there in the canal. Again, not too many big ones. A handful of larger fish that have been caught, but most of them are going to be in that smaller size. But they've been there. They've been hungry. And they've also been catching some Mayan cichlids out there. Not so many snapper, but the Mayan cichlids instead, which... for my money, I'd almost rather eat the Mayans.
It's better than them poaching those little guys that they usually do.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to take 8-inch fish, take Mayan cichlids, not mangrove snappers.
Right. So, anything else, Robert?
Some juvenile tarpon, and then right along the beach side out front, just a couple days. Let's see, that was Monday, I guess. A guy wade fishing out there, and he caught a couple redfish and a couple trout. So there's been a little bit of stuff out there.
Did he mention any flounder?
No.
Okay. Right there in that channel drop-off, usually as we start to head in towards fall, we start seeing some Gulf flounder that hang out in that area.
Right.
But we'll see.
Yeah, I think the freshwater is going to keep them out a little bit more.
I don't think it will. Gulfs move way up into the harbor. I've seen gulfs caught up by the Navigator.
All right. Well, if you were going to go way up in the PGI canals, what would you go after?
I would troll. Try for the jacks and the small snook that I've been hearing about. And you might get lucky and snag a tarpon going by because you're just going to look at them.
Yeah, but I'd run something small. I mean, especially if you're going to troll, I'd be running a little Rapala. Not something very big.
Twitch stick or the Rapala, yeah, in the 8 size.
I might even want something smaller than that twitch stick.
Okay, Gilcrest Pier.
Crickets.
And stingrays.
Really? You heard of stingrays over there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool.
That's finally something for a while.
All right. My buddy Mick Grady is sponsoring the Alligator Creek Reef, and he's got the Allstate insurance place down there, but, you know, he does home boats, all that stuff. If you need insurance, definitely give him a call. Great guy. Nice people to deal with. And the insurance company we have in the house, I'm trying to call people in California and here and there. I can just drive into Punta Gorda, stop in and chat, or give them a call on the phone. But it's nice having somebody local to talk over your insurance needs. And, you know, I had some damage around the house and everything else. And I got to tell you, finding somebody local to do your insurance is a big deal. It doesn't seem like it anymore because everybody does text and email and all that stuff. But I'm old school. I want to have somebody to sit down and talk to. And the other day, I just drove down there and I walked in, talked to him. He wasn't there. I was talking to people in the office, chatted up for a while. He said, okay, I'll give you a call. And so, you know, it makes you feel better.
And the thing is that it's easy to ignore a long-distance text or an email or even a phone call if you want to. It's hard to ignore somebody walking into your office pissed off. So if they give you this shaft, then you just walk right in. You're like, hey, what's going on? So you have to get better service when it's local.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd put it like that because I've never been upset walking in there.
No, I'm saying that's how you know that you're going to get better service because they know that you can walk in there. If it's the last trump card that you have over a long-distance relationship versus a local one.
Well, I got to tell you, if this guy in California doesn't get his act together and I got to fly to California, I got to tell you, I'm going to get off that plane more on angry old redneck.
But they won't let you take any guns into California, so at least
I don't
that.
Need one. Okay, I'm old. My ancestors were troglodytes. I don't need it.
Do all the damage you need with a ballpoint pen, right?
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the Alligator Creek Reef. Anything going on out there?
Hit or miss jacks. Jacks have been cruising around over it. Doesn't really seem like it's correlating with tide. I kind of would have expected it to be correlating with an incoming tide, but there's so much water flowing that I don't think the incoming tide is reaching all the way up to there.
Anything, Robert?
Juvenile tarpon rolling all over on it. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet. But the juvenile tarpon seem to be dominating everywhere right now. You notice the theme with this fishing report for
sure. You're saying those two words a lot.
All right. Let's go to the Deep Holes in the Harbor, sponsored by Seato, the crazy-looking yellow boat you see out there that pulls you off of the sandbars or brings you gas when you run out.
When you run out.
Yeah, when I run out. Yeah, they brought me gas when I ran out.
Yeah.
I don't try and hide what a screw-up I am. The reason I'm good at my job is because every mistake in the world I've made, everything that can go wrong has happened. That's what makes me good, because I have to figure out how to fix all this stuff.
Yeah, and I like learning from your mistakes. It's better than learning from my own.
Yes, and I will say, you do well at picking all that stuff up. So, anyway. And, you know, ask me about a problem. Chances are, I've had it. So, the Deep Holes in the Harbor, what are we talking?
A lot of catfish. Whole lot of catfish. I've heard of a few ladyfish. I've heard of a lot of juvenile tarpon, once again, rolling around all over out there. And then some Spanish mackerel as you get a little bit further south on occasion, but not really targetable. It seems like it's just coincidental bycatch.
Yeah, I think those guys are just skipping in and skipping right back out.
Yeah.
They do not like this fresh water one bit. They're coming in for food, but I don't think they can stay very long.
No, they're not
staying
at all.
It's not their liking. But the bull sharks, on the other hand,
yeah,
bull sharks are perfectly fine with it.
A lot of juvenile bull sharks on the southern end down there in that 3 to 5 foot range. So some of these guys are getting pleasantly surprised by, you know, 80 to 110 pound fish.
All right. Now that brings us down to the bait reports. Have we heard of any type of, let's start with white bait. Any white bait around?
It's hard to tell what I was seeing out there off the beaches. They were small and they were flashy, whether they're young white bait or whether they're bay anchovies. I couldn't tell you. I can tell you they were too small to cast net. But okay. There was a lot of it out there.
Thread fins. Any thread fins anywhere?
About 10 miles offshore, I've heard of some bigger thread fins. But nothing inside or around here that I've heard much about. The one report I did get of white bait was the right there at Boquilla. There was some one day, and then there was also some at Devilfish another day. But there's only been the two reports that I've had of somebody actually getting some. It's been kind of dismal on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least that's consistent for the year.
Pretty anything pinfish?
Pretty good numbers of pinfish around the grass flats of Gasparilla and also in the Matlache Pass area.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that too. And then I've heard of some over there towards Jug Creek Shoals and also around Devilfish. So the pinfish are definitely a lot easier to get than anything else going on.
And a lot of it is in that good sabiki size, that 3 to 5 inches.
Okay. Ladyfish.
The only numbers of ladyfish I've heard about have been a handful inside Turtle and Bull Bay, but very scattered now.
I was told there were some
concentrations
along the Placida Trestle.
Schools of them or just numbers of them?
No, schools of them.
Well,
I was told.
You didn't witness it and take a picture
of
it?
No, I did not witness it. I was told this is...
Did he have a picture?
Possibly even third hand.
Okay, really? Let's look at freshwater. What's going on in the freshwater in the area?
That's doing actually pretty darn good. The bass fishing has been fairly well. I mean, the problem is that some of this higher water has made it tricky to get to some of the banks of the canals right now. And if you're fishing around culverts, be real careful walking down to the banks. But the guys are catching them on. The frogs have been probably the most dominant bait that the guys have been picking up lately. Now that we got shiners in, we've gone through quite a few shiners between last night and this morning. So those are working well. And then the bluegill have picked up a little bit, but they're so dispersed now because of how much water is around. One guy does okay out there in the Rotunda area. Another guy was trying to fish it around the Gulf Cove area and not doing anything. So it's not bad, but it's tough because of that high water.
You've got to have fish that are concentrated by moving water, which is going to be the bass, to a lesser extent the crappie, and if you want to go fishing in the evening or at night, the catfish. And the freshwater catfish bite has actually been pretty darn good. In the same places guys are throwing frogs, looking for those culverts, looking for those overflows, just tossing chunks of fresh cut bait out there in the evenings or at night. And I've seen some photos of some really nice catfish over the past week. Haven't seen any blues, which I'm kind of surprised by, but some good channels up to, looks like, maybe about 10 pounds.
10-pound channel cat's a pretty good-sized channel cat.
Yeah, and they're fat, too.
Yeah.
Okay, it's going to take us down to the tarpon reports. What do we got, tarpon report?
Lots of juvenile tarpon everywhere, according to Robert.
Yeah. Yeah, the juvenile fish are literally everywhere. From Boca Grande all the way throughout the ICW into the harbor and into all the canals. I mean, guys are reporting seeing them all over the place, and they're from those little 5-pounders up to 25-pounders.
Now, the larger fish are in the Pine Island Sound on the south end, right?
Mid-size fish, south end of Pine Island Sound, eating pinfish under a float.
Yeah, and see, that's the only place that I've heard of with anyone hooking them with any consistency, except for one day a guy did good right there at Boca between the phosphate dock and the main part of the pass. But that was the one report. That wasn't multiples.
Yeah, and I'm thinking those fish that are in Pine Island Sound now, because they weren't there last week, I think they came out of the Caloosahatchee. And they just kind of set up camp there, which is relatively nearby, and there's a good food source for them.
And that could very well
make sense, yeah.
All right, let me see if I can get this up here so we can do this and be... All right. Now, going along with... I've got our tarpon map here up. What would be... I'm going to say down by the Captiva Rocks, working our way down the intercoastal towards Punta Rasa would be the best place for larger tarpon.
Mm-hmm.
Any place else?
Right around the phosphate docks and in through the pass.
Okay. Josh, anywhere?
Well, it's not on the Matt Lachey side. It's on the Pine Island side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. If you're going to have a 50-50 shot, I would possibly say some of the deeper holes in the harbor.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay, where would you say?
The hard part is going to be getting them to eat. I mean, the fish are
everywhere. No, I mean, where would you see some bigger tarpon?
I haven't heard of any bigger tarpon other than those two spots.
Yeah, that's all I've really got, too.
Okay. Anywhere where you got a chance at tarpon?
Everywhere.
I don't have a thing for smaller tarpon. I guess I could put one of those on here. But they'd just cover the whole thing.
Pretty much.
All right, I'll just save that. So, anyway, I guess that's going to about wrap it up. Anything else that we need to go over, guys?
Still be safe out there, because there is still some debris that's starting to finally settle on some of the bars that we're hearing about. No reason to go fast, or else you're going to find it the hard way.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much about changes to the bottom, but I expect that there must be some out there. I know that I talked to a couple people who went offshore, and they said that one of their spots was sanded over, but on the way to the spot, they found some bottom that they weren't expecting, because he said it's the path he always drives, and it's always been bare sand, and he drove over rock and marked it. So some of that stuff has shifted out there. I haven't heard about anything in the harbor, but I really wouldn't be shocked if some things have moved around, as much as we've seen changes to the beach and offshore.
Yeah, the harbor, for some reason, it doesn't change as much. I expected, like, after Charlie to find major differences, but the only major differences I found were along the Gulf. Literally a new pass through Captiva at one point and stuff like that. But the harbor itself really didn't change a nickel's worth. And I don't know why that is. It's so shallow. You would think that it would, you know, there'd be massive new holes in sandbars or deeper or shallower. I don't know why the harbor doesn't change much.
And I was concerned about it with this storm more than with Charlie because more water went out of the harbor this time. I mean, there was so much more of the harbor that was dry. So,
but you
if
know,
it doesn't change, it doesn't change. But
I don't know why.
Just being aware of it.
Yeah, and I'm just not sure why it wouldn't. It should. It has all of the things that would say, yes, this harbor, you get a major hurricane, it's going to change up the whole sandbar pattern, everything
absolutely
else, large lot. And it doesn't.
No.
I don't understand it. It's a weird freak phenomenon of nature why this harbor is so unchanged. I mean, literally, a lot of the soundings were done in the 50s, some of them were prior to 1900, and they were still mostly accurate up until like 5 years ago when they redid some of the soundings, or 10 years ago, and they didn't change much.
Crazy, man. Crazy.
That's weird.
Hey,
really weird.
One other thing I wanted to say. Today, Saturday the 23rd, is National Hunting and Fishing Day. This is a day that you're supposed to take somebody else out there with you and introduce them to the outdoor sports. But you've
what
probably
if I
missed
don't
it.
Like anybody?
You'll find somebody you like.
Oh, okay.
But even if you missed it, it's okay. You can still do it. You don't have to have National Hunting and Fishing Day to take somebody else out on the water and share the sport that we all love so much and introduce somebody to our local fishing.
God. That was just beautiful. That was really nice. Okay, but anyway, I know.
I feel mocked.
No.
It's fine.
You were so sincere.
Sorry.
You were so sincere.
I'm used to it.
Mock. Ing. Bird. Yeah. 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 Okay. Da-da-da. Bye, bye. Say bye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Say goodbye, Josh. You're not talking to me, okay? He was so sincere. It was so cute. It's nice when we have these sincere folks.
Yes.
Rather than this snarly, snidely old me on the show. All right. Okay, boys and girls, Fish and Frank here in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and Captain Josh Olive. How does that sound, buddy?
Slightly inaccurate. Until I actually have the credential in my hand, I'm not going to use it.
Okay, schmuck Josh Olive in the chair across from me, and another schmuck on the street. All right, we'll see you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye, boys and girls.